This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Isabel Hardman. And leading the news today is a number 10 flat refurbishment. Isabel, can you give us a bit of an update here? Because the story has been rattling around for some time. Initially, it was Simon Walters leading the charge, almost a solo charge in the Daily Mail, based on the idea that the funding towards it had been hidden from the public and actually who had paid for it, number one. Now we know that Boris Johnson is paying for it, has paid for it. But the thing everyone is interested in is what happened before, who paid for it originally. So where are we at?
So the reports have been that Boris Johnson was given a loan by CCHQ, Conservative Central Office, to finance part of this refurbishment, and that he has now paid this money back. Now, there is some confusion over when this money was paid back and whether the loan is going to be declared in what everyone involved is saying in the usual way. There is this review that's taking place that's being led by Simon Case, the Cabinet Secretary, which he revealed yesterday and James reported on Coffee House. But one thing that has sort of resurfaced in the past 24 hours, and I'd be surprised if Labour didn't start to hammer this a little bit harder, given the conversations I've been having over the past few hours, is this quote, John Lewis nightmare. It's been around for couple of months now, hasn't it? It was in a Tatler article that one of the reasons they wanted to do this flat refurbishment was that Theresa May had decorated the Downing Street flat in a John Lewis nightmare. Apparently that was from a friend of Carrie Symons, Boris Johnson's fiance. And this has sparked a row in Westminster about whether it is possible to have a John Lewis nightmare or whether for most voters John Lewis is a dream. And to diss John Lewis is akin to dissing a white van, and whether Boris Johnson is going to have to come out at some point and say that whenever he sees John Lewis, he feels respect like Ed Miliband did after Emily Thornberry insulted white van man. I mean, some of this is becoming a bit confected and people trying to say things about their own backstories to, you know, sort of suggesting, oh, where I was from, John Lewis was posh because we grew up in cardboard box kind of thing. But I think it is an issue that if you are wanting to use either taxpayers' money or, as has been suggested, donations to finance the refurbishment of a flat, which in most people's eyes is perfectly fine, I think that's where it starts to have cut through to voters, not least because John Lewis, as well as being a very trusted high street brand and where lots of people get their furniture from and have their wedding lists and so on, it was also the John Lewis list in the 2009 expenses scandal, and voters were furious that MPs were able to get furniture on the taxpayer from a shop that most taxpayers would see as being aspirational rather than something that they're entitled to.
James, Labour have clearly decided to go on the attack, and as Isabel points out, John Lewis is now an extra tangent to this. But just briefly on propriety grounds, how much trouble is the Prime Minister in? We've got the branding, we've got how this might look to the public, but just in terms of technicalities, because yesterday we talked about Simon Case briefly, but he really didn't go near any questions on the flat because he said it was part of an inquiry, and constantly we get the sense that number 10 is just putting off saying anything on the flat in the hope that they get to a period where either it's gone away or they have something good to say, which they don't seem to have right now.
Number 10 need to get out whatever it is that happened with the flat. I think that I thought Isabel pointed out in the Evening Blend last night that, as Robert Peston writes in his story about, there being a loan from CCHQ to cover the initial cost of the refurbishment. The Downing Street response to that does not include a denial of that. And I think that, you know, given how this story is going, I think they would be much better off just making clear what happened and making sure that, like, all the declarations that should have happened have happened. Because I think that this, I think at the moment, it's the kind of, the no comment is becoming almost a bigger, not no comment to be fair, but this kind of Simon Case stonewalling at the committee yesterday, I think didn't help them. It makes this, I mean, this thing doesn't look great to be, it doesn't look good, but it makes it look worse because it's kind of, the information is so clearly being dragged out of them. I think that is probably, I think they would be much better advised just to get all this stuff out there so that, you know, that they can say the Prime Minister has now paid the money, or you know, and deal with all of these questions, because they're not going to go away. And I think, as you say, Katie, if you can try and wait, this is just going to build up more of a head of steam.
I think they need to get everything out there. I think they need to get a World of Interiors or Homes and Gardens profile on this Downing Street flat, and get the gold wall fittings that Boris Johnson's reported to have joked about photographed at home with Boris and Carrie, and just so that we can understand the difference between real taste and a John Lewis nightmare. I think that would be the thing that would kill this as a story, would be for us to see what they've done.
And Isabel, you talk about the John Lewis branding. I think it's interesting in the sense that if party funds were used, even be it briefly, there is a question as to what Tory members, not I think your big name Tory donors that go to the black and white ball, but Tory donors who donate a small amount on a regular basis, who go out canvassing, are going to feel about their money being briefly used, perhaps briefly, and perhaps was linked to another donor, on what appears to be a very lavish redecoration. So do you think this is going to be damaging? Because we hear things, you know, we've seen in articles the term Carrie Antoinette, and you can sense that Labour is slightly shifting that way. Now, we have a rebuttal that's worth bringing in. So Guido Fawkes have today published that actually Carrie Simmons does really like John Lewis, showing that there were some boxes delivered, though. Ultimately, that tact piece said it was a John Lewis furniture nightmare, and those boxes don't look like furniture. So how much damage do you think this can do? Is this really just a bubble story? Do people really pay attention to a quote in a tat the profile across the UK?
I think you can tell how much attention people are paying by how often Tory MPs find themselves compelled to say, no one is interested in this, no one is paying attention to this, because if no one were paying attention to this, they wouldn't have noticed. But I guess one counterpoint to it is that a lot of voters do expect those holding the highest office to have, I suppose, a nice life. And something that I was quite surprised by when I talked to a number of Essex MPs a few years ago about what their voters wanted was that their voters were offended not by prime ministers having lavish holidays, but by prime ministers not having lavish holidays. So they got very upset when David Cameron flew economy, for instance, because they said, well, you know, he's prime minister, he shouldn't be flying economy, he should fly first. That's what he should be doing. Boris Johnson, they got annoyed by because they thought that he could afford a better haircut than the one he had. Obviously, I suspect the prime minister actually does spend quite a lot of money on his hair, or at least puts a lot of attention into it. And so for a lot of voters, actually, there's a sort of a life that comes with the office that they would expect those at the top of our country to have. Now, whether or not using party funds to fund a slightly niche furniture emergency, I mean, we're not talking about the sort of furniture emergency that involves collapsing bookcases or anything like that. Whether or not that's the kind of thing that people have sympathy with is another matter. But I think it is worth remembering that for most voters, the sort of the Westminster debate about, you know, the kind of four Yorkshiremen style stuff that we get a lot in Westminster is not the same as the way a lot of voters think about politicians.
And since that John Lewis furniture nightmare quote is resurfacing, it's perhaps worth going back to the original flat story by the Daily Mail, which had a quote from a friend of Carrie Simmons in her defence when it came out, which read, "The makeover is appropriate for a building of such importance. Carrie has exquisite taste. It's classic, stunning, stylish and chic. She should be congratulated, not criticised." James, do you think that's a line we're going to hear more from Downing Street as attention builds up?
I think Isabel's suggestion that there's likely to be a kind of at home with, you know, guys with decor is unlikely. I think Downing Street would just like the story to go away and to avoid discussing interior decor or anything like that.
We haven't talked about also is Dylan and the impact he might have on this furniture emergency, because he's not furniture friendly as far as most of the reports have suggested. So, you know, what's the dynamic there? That could be the next row.
And looking at, I suppose, the wider, quite messy now, James, number 10 Newsweek, the flat is one thing. In many ways, it is seen as the most serious. For all we're talking about, I suppose, the impact on branding, it is the one where ultimately Dominic Cummings has suggested the Prime Minister may have intended to act illegally with his original plan. But what are the other problems we're seeing coming up the track? Because there's also the inquiry. So how is the bombshell of Friday impacting us now?
I think the flat is by far the most serious allegation, because there are rules that concern the declaration of donations to political parties, ministerial interests, right? And that those are rules, and they are that is harder, you know, but they are by definition rules, and so if they have been broken, it will be easier to say. I think bodies piled up thing will turn into, as we said yesterday, it's going to be a kind of he said, she said. You've got the Mail, the BBC and ITV saying the Prime Minister said it, the Prime Minister denying repeatedly on the record that he said it. I think the kind of question there is whether people want to think back to that part of the pandemic. It's kind of quite interesting. If you look at the government approval rating on its handling of COVID, in the beginning of September, it kind of fallen to kind of 30%. It's now back up at 59%. And people kind of seem to have moved on or forgotten about, or the jabs have kind of allowed the government to get over the damage caused to it by the rows over the tier system, the kind of regional system of restrictions, or the kind of cancelled Christmas easing. I think the question is whether this row over the bodies piled up comment and the attempt to kind of make this into a kind of a values issue, you know, who would say that is the kind of Nicola Sturgeon line of attack, and it's all too believable. I think that is a preview of how messy any inquiry, and I personally think an inquiry is kind of inevitable. I don't see how this many people can die in a situation and you have such extreme restrictions on liberty and our lives without then having an inquiry into how it's handled by the government. But how messy that inquiry could get, especially given that there is, I think it is fair to say, clear blue water now between the Prime Minister and some of the people who were in the room with him when he made those decisions.
And Isabel, you mentioned Tory MPs. It was interesting when I was speaking to a couple at the beginning of the week, that the flat issue, they had not come up at all, but actually MPs returning from this weekend of campaigning were saying it was starting to come up a little bit more on the doorstep, not to a level I think that was making them panic, but if that starts to be a trend, then it's something that I think will be worrying. Are you sensing much nerves over how this is playing out, or is what every MP is keen to say, which is people don't care about this, still the main view?
Well, it's interesting, just from the other perspective, from the Labour side, they think that they've got quite a lot of long-term mileage in talking about this, but they don't think it's going to have very much impact in the local and devolved assembly elections. And so for them, talking about this, which some aides around Keir Starmer have been pushing for quite a while, not the flat, but the procurement of PPE last summer and so on, a sort of running Tory sleaze theme, they see that as being something that they can keep doing so long as Boris Johnson is Prime Minister. But at the same time, anyone you talk to in Labour is very keen to say that things are going to be a bit of a bloodbath when we come to results night.
And the Prime Minister wants to be talking about other things. James, he's tried to do that at Cabinet today. How's that gone?
Well, it's kind of classic attempt to kind of move on the discussion. But I mean, it's going to be very hard to move on the discussion. I think the best hope for Boris Johnson is that these elections allow a kind of a narrative change. Because I think that, you know, I think just telling the cabinet that everyone should be focused on the people's priorities and the government should kind of get on with the job it was paid to do to get re-elected is quite difficult given the drama of this fallout between the Prime Minister and his former chief strategist, Dominic Cummings, and as you say, the severity of the charges that he is levelling against Boris Johnson. So maybe the election results change the conversation in Westminster, but that's still, what, 9 days away or something, or probably longer because counting will take, won't be quick because of COVID and all the restrictions that imposes. But I think right now it is hard not to see this story dominating for the next week or so.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Isabel. And thank you for listening.
To mark the launch of the new Spectator app, we're offering our podcast listeners the chance to try a 3-month digital subscription absolutely free. To start your trial, go to spectator.co.uk/app offer. Hurry though, the offer ends on Sunday.